We were talking about what you learned from your teacher in Damascus over more than a couple of decades, I think 26 years or something, where you were privy to a lot of information that he was passed on from generations on the Quran and the various texts and the idea of our relationship with God and this life and, of course, the hereafter. And I find that fascinating that the verse that we're discussing at the moment about where Allah tells us that He created us so that we can worship Him has so much thought required to it. And so we're breaking it down into three categories. The first one is creation, and then the next one is jinn and man. And the third one is the idea of worship. So those are the three categories. So we've talked about creation and how we first and foremost accept that that God is perfection and God has created everything in his perfect wisdom. And therefore, when we are told to worship him, which we'll come to what that means and how that is meant to be played out in this life, that there is a perfection to even that, to even the various courses of life that we go through, good, bad, ugly, however we want to define them, there is perfection to it. So that was the first part that we discussed in the previous episode. What's the next category?
Yeah, so a second axis that really we need to explore to understand the verse correctly is the question of thaqalain. These are the two categories of beings that are judged at the end, and these are the jinn and the humans. So the verse is very explicit. The verse is not, I have only created jinn and ins, men, jinn and men, so that they worship me. Only for them to worship me, So, what is our concept of jinn, or even man, on this question of the thakalain being judged, so being held accountable for our choices?
And also
Is it clear?
the question is, what is it that's in us as man created beings, and of course for the jinn as well, what is it that's in us that qualifies us to be able to do this full-time worshiping of God? So if we were created only to worship him, then there must be a tremendous definition of the word worship in order for us to be partaking in it on a full-time basis.
But this is the third really concept that we need to dig into.
Right.
Now let's concentrate of our concept of jinn and ins,
Right.
jinn and humans. Because a person of our time who reads this verse will not pay so much attention to the first category, the jinn. It's not a very objective approach of the verse, because you remember that the deep impression in many people in front of this verse is to find that maybe God is a little bit narcissistic because he would have created just to worship, just for that, just to worship him, to tell him how great he is and to bow down to him, and he gets pleasure from it.
That would, yeah, that could be someone's very ill-advised, knee-jerk reaction. I understand.
Very deep, many people have this, if you
Then
don't clear,
why? Yes.
because you are not clear in your concepts, okay? But what you notice also is the person who is accusing God of being maybe a little bit narcissistic is having exactly the same narcissism, because when you read the verse and you are totally uninterested by the jinn category, only focusing on the human category, on your own category, because it is cited in the verse, and the other category you ignore it, isn't it a proof of a hidden narcissism that you have in you? And so whatever, this unveils really the true state of mind and the concepts of the reader, as we have shown in the beginning, of our discussion. So in the name of free thinking and scientific objectivity, the person ignores, and even if the person does not admit it, the person ignores the question of the jinn with a kind of contempt, considering it's related to folklore, right? But the preceding remark shows how inadequate it is to approach a question while neglecting one of its fundamental elements. The point of this discussion really is to invite the people who listen to a necessary development of their concepts about the two categories of being that are judged, and to do this in a methodically and with objectivity.
A lot of people are uncomfortable trying to explore the idea of jinn because it freaks them out. They don't want to talk about it. And so it inevitably always comes back to just them as human beings being created and the question sort of remaining just there.
Yes, but being freaked out by your question doesn't make it right to ignore it.
Okay.
If you want to proceed in the understanding of physics, you may be very scared of radioactivity.
Right.
You have to face it. You know?
Right, so, right.
So now how can we understand? Because our creator in this verse is pointing very specifically to these two categories.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if our understanding, we're just ignoring one, we cannot really address all the depth of the earth.
Exactly. The verse, right? We can't go into this deep dive as we'd like to.
So in order to try to clarify this question, we need to focus our thoughts on the creator himself, right? And his creation. So he's one, al-Wahid, and he's unique, ahad, you know? And thus, necessarily, everything he creates is in contrast to the absolute divine attributes. His creation is composite, all right? And is not unique, right? So this truth allows us to understand why the creation is multiple and varied. This variety in the creation necessarily implies the existence of levels and of progressive degrees in the creation.
Right.
Okay.
So there's a hierarchy.
From the lowest to the highest.
Okay.
From thinking creatures to non-thinking creatures.
Right.
From creatures that are judged to creatures that are not judged on the day of judgment.
So can we define this as a hierarchy or is
it? Hierarchy, absolutely.
Okay. And who's at the top of the food chain?
So that's the humans have a tendency to think that everything was made for them.
Right. So they think they're at the top of the food chain of creation.
Yeah, but there's really nothing in the Quran that is really saying that.
Okay.
Right? So let's suspend this
judgment. So it remains the question. Okay.
We know the creation is hierarchical.
Yeah.
And is a development of all possibilities, you know?
Right.
So the jinn and the humans, they both belong to the category of thinking creatures that face judgment. All right.
Because we are able to think our way through life.
Because this is the will of Allah.
Okay.
And this is a fact.
Right. So we were given the thinking capabilities and therefore we will be questioned on those thinking capabilities.
But the question is really to understand what these two categories are.
Mm-hmm.
So once we understand that the jinn and the humans belong to the category of thinking creatures that are be judged, and we have thus put these two categories into the context of creation, there is a first paradox that appears. Okay. Why should it be extraordinary that they are required to worship their creator, since it is required to the entire creation, from the smallest components of matter to the angels themselves, alayhi salam?
You know? All worship God.
Exactly.
All of creation
we are
worships
told
God.
Repeatedly, everything is chanting
The praises
of God, and is worshiping Him. So why would it be pointed that I created only ins and jinn so that they worship me?
It's a very good question. Yeah.
It's very paradoxical. Everything's worshiping Him.
So why would God ask that, or why would God state in this verse that I have only created man and jinn to worship me when in fact all of creation,
this order is addressed to all creation,
is worshiping God. But is it because we are the only two of the thinking in the category of thinking? So because we are thinking, we have a choice. And so oftentimes people will take the choice not to worship God.
And,
correct?
And is
that where the test lies?
And this is why there is a judgment.
Okay.
So, but it's paradoxical. So this information that everything is worshiping the creator is everywhere in the Quran. Surah 17, verse 44, we have the seven heavens and the earth and all that is therein praise Him. And there is not a thing that does not proclaim his praise. Okay? And I could go on and on.
Right. So it
Certainly.
confirms that then that would include men and jinn. So
Exactly.
it means that, okay, but then,
So, yeah, it's
yeah.
paradoxical.
Right.
Okay?
So address
So
that question.
up to this point, we have taken really a minimal and very concise approach to tackle the question of the creation and the responsible creatures. But already we have enough material and clarification, to make a considerable progress in our understanding of his words. I have not created jinn and men except to worship me. So how would it have been if we had really immersed ourselves in these two questions? We have just scratched the surface, right? All right. There is the mystery really of the possibility for these two categories to make choices that goes against the will of Allah, knowingly or unknowingly, and to face a judgment. And this is a great mystery because this order, this creation, Allah is Al-Muhaymin, is dominating by his will everything. Nothing can, interfere and is not reacting to anything. He knows everything in advance. So what is his mystery, And why is
It's a
it?
huge
It
mystery.
is. So the point is not to enter in this discussion right now, but to be aware that this very verse, when it says that I have only created jinn and ins, and humans, so that they worship me. When we understand the paradox in which thinking creatures that are judged are in this creation, it opens doors. And finally, we understand that this verse is an answer to very deep questions related to this.
Absolutely, but I still am a bit unclear on what that exact answer is. So we're being told that we've been created for this purpose of just worshiping God. Meanwhile, we're the only jinn and humans are the
They can
only
do something
in the
else.
category of thinking, so they can do anything that they want because they're able to think, whereas the other creation don't have a choice. They're not necessarily thinking beings.
So understanding this question, again, this is not the place to delve into this question that are very fundamental and high. The point is really to elevate ourselves at least 1 degree to have more clarity on the meaning of the verse.
Okay,
Right?
let's keep going until we get to that clarity.
So this brief approach of these two axes, of creation and ins and jinn, leads us to really the third axis, which is of the verse, which is the question of worship itself, right? Which is really at the heart of the difficulty of understanding that we have mentioned at the beginning of this discussion. People say, well, only to worship him. But what does it mean to worship him, right? But in fact, you can say that this difficulty of understanding and triggered by the word worship, right? Ibadah. You can easily surmount this problem or this difficulty by a simple reformulation of the verse. Okay? And reformulating verses, with truthfulness, is a way to shed a light on one of the aspects of the verse. The verse is packed with a lot of meanings. If you reformulate it, you just make apparent one aspect of it. And we will go through several reformulation of the verse so that we can see several of the aspects of the verse that could be hidden to us if we don't do this exercise.
So are we at the worship category?
Yes,
Okay, so can you just sum up the second category, which is the jinn and the humans? So you said those are the two creations of the second category. And the summary of what we're to determine from that category is.
the point in getting clear on what is jinn and ins and their place in the creation is to make us sensitive to the fact that if Allah tells us in the Quran that He created or tells us and other creatures, because the Quran is addressed to the universes, if He tells us that He created these two categories only to worship Him, it means it it really reinforces the need for us to have answers of what is worshipping or what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Because it opens our eyes to the fact that since all creation is worshipping him, what is then about these two categories that is so different? And there is a possibility not to do it?
Yep.
Or what is it?
So the fact that we're given a choice is the actual
yes.
thing to ponder, is that could also be a trap.
But
it could be dangerous for us.
But again, if everything is worshipping him, what is mystery
mm-hmm.
of saying that, specifically on these two categories, saying that they're only meant to worship, but opening the door that something else could be done?
Sure.
So it's just...
Which gives the devil an entry point. If he should obviously find those openings, he can take them.
Yes, and the verse, once again, is that I have created men only so that they worship me. The introduction of the second category is a way for us human to take back our thinking, our place in the creation.
Mm-hmm.
We are not the epitome and the end goal of everything, you know?
Mm.
We have been created along with the jinn for the same purpose.
Mm.
Okay?
So it's narcissistic of us to think that everything is done because of us or by us or because of what we are.
Yes, and to be put back in our place
mm-hmm.
will allow us openings in understanding what is worship,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which is the third axe that we should probably tackle. So having this minimum understanding or trying to undust, you know, some concepts about creation and ins and jinn, we can now go into the third axe, which mm-hmm. is the question of worship.
Okay.
And this question of worship, as I was saying, is the core difficulty in understanding the verse.
Mm-hmm.
Because the concept of worshipping is very poor in our minds in general.
Absolutely. Because when I read the verse that says that I've only created men and jinn and men to worship me, I'm actually, for a long time, I was thinking, so this is constant prayer. I'm going to be in a state of constant prayer all the time, just worshiping and beseeching my Lord.
Exactly. It's like the antique approach of religion.
Yeah. And that was when I was first learning. I mean, obviously I've evolved and the thinking does develop over time.
Yeah. It's very hard for us to understand that we have a relationship with the divinity, with our creator, that is a personal relation.
Mm.
It's a relation of the heart.
Right.
When this idea did not exist, for example, for the Romans or the Greeks,
mm-hmm.
okay, what they had is an orthopraxis. What is, okay, you live in Athene.
Mm-hmm.
Athena is the goddess of Athene. So you need to pay respect to Athena and to practice the rituals.
Right.
So you worship Athena, because, and this day you need to do that, and you have a little thing in your house where you burn some things and etc. So basically, whatever is in your heart, whatever you believe in Athena or not, nobody cares. You
so
need
you,
to practice the ritual of worship. And worshipping, usually, sometimes, is reduced to that. So if I'm a Muslim, worshipping means I will obey, the five angles of Islam. So I will do my salah, etc. I will follow the rituals,
mm-hmm.
and this is my worshipping.
So there's no concept of heart connection in that form of of ritualistic worshipping,
no.
And
so,
that's what we are not to do. That is to make it so ritualistic that we are completely devoid of a heart connection.
So in order to understand the verse, we need to clear up what worshipping is.
Okay.
Right, because many people have the wrong idea.
Yep. Okay? Agreed.
It's not following a practice only. So if we To unpack this worshipping concepts, we can reformulate the verse in a slightly different way. It will make appear a certain aspect of the verse that maybe escaped us and will help us in understanding the verse. Okay, so, of course, the verse in itself is the words of Allah, and it contains so many aspects that we will just address a few of them. Because only he knows how many aspects there is, okay? And yeah. So the first reformulation of the verse this first reformulation would be enough in itself to make all confusion disappear and to satisfy people's hearts.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's say it that way. I have not created jinn and men to worship other than me.
Right.
Okay. So now the question is worship of other than Allah, is it a marginal question, phenomenal, an exceptional case in the world? No. So is it limited, worshipping other than the Creator? Is it limited, this question of worshipping something, someone other than the Creator? Is it limited to a small number of beings and would be then not worth mentioning? Or is it a really large number of humans, and who knows about the jinn, but a number of humans are worshipping many things other than their Creator?
You know? Yeah.
In fact, it's a tragic reality that still today concerns almost half of humanity, if not more, right? So consequently, it is an extremely, extremely serious question that truly merits this Quranic warning.
That don't worship anything but God.
I had only created men and jinn and men so that they worship some other than me.
Yeah. Yeah, so they don't worship others other than me. Okay. Yeah, wow, yeah.
But
which means don't give that level of...
It's a Quranic warning.
Right, exactly. But don't give that level of divinity to anything. And oftentimes we see people, I mean, on a day-to-day basis that are desperate for something, whether it's a material thing that they want to acquire or whether it's a relationship or whether it's a human being, you know. So there are these daily worships going on a day-to-day basis, which we have to be mindful of as to where our heart still remains whilst we're in the pursuit of gaining in this world, which is not a crime or a sin. We should be attaining success of every kind in this life, but always be mindful of where our heart connection is.
Exactly, because what is a divinity? Ilah in Arabic. Ilah. When we say La ilaha illallah, there is no divinity, no God except Allah, right? What do we mean when we say there's no ilah, there's no divinity? What is a divinity? And if you can get this concept from the Quran, divinity for a human, or for a jinn probably, is anything on which you count for your life. You think that without the support of this thing, you cannot live. It can be health. It can be money.
Right.
It can be fame.
Yeah.
It can be someone that you just count.
Yeah, you just make it your focal point and that's it.
You count on this thing more than anything, and you think that your life cannot exist without it. This is your ilah. And when we say there's no ilah, but Allah.
But how can we, for example, health is a very good example. If one doesn't have their health, then they have nothing and they feel like they're just losing grip on life.
Yes, but don't make your health your ilah. Realize that your health is coming from Allah, your Creator.
So in other words, bypass the worry of the health and worry more about your connection with God, who can give you all that and more.
You can address your health, you go to the doctor, etc., but never forget that health is not your God.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And it can be taken away. It can be put back.
For no reason, by the way. A lot of people often do everything right and they can
fall
into...
Well, no reason you perceive, but there's always a reason.
By him, by God.
Yes, but Allah doesn't do anything without reason. It is all part of an order. And he has everything under control.
But my point is that even health, no matter how perfectly you are at taking care of yourself, you know, is in the end, in the hands of God.
It's a blessing.
It's a blessing, yes. And he can take it and he can give it.
It's a gift. Everything you have is a gift. And there is absolutely no mean, no power, no strength without, if it's not by him, okay? Because everything, again, is under his control.
Right. So instead of focusing on, I must get more money, for example, or I must, you know, one must, whatever, attain, you know, the next level in their job, for example, their career, you know, climb up the, you know, the realm of success. All that becomes such an obsession for so many of us that what your point is that it almost becomes a point of worship rather than us keeping our focus on the most and the only point of worship, which is God, who can give us all of these things and more, and who is the master of all of these things. So he controls all of these things for us.
Yes.
In our lives.
Yes. And again, the striving to have a comfortable life or to be successful in your job, etc., it is part of the excellence
mm-hmm.
that Allah is pleased with.
Right. So we must commit to the excellence in all aspects
Absolutely.
Of our lives.
But again, the effort, we put our heart into our Creator.
Mm-hmm.
And the effort in pleasing Him
mm-hmm.
is to be as excellent as possible.
Yeah.
Right? Now, if the fruit of our effort is denied to us, we are not supposed to crumble and to say, oh, I did everything right and now I have a cancer, for example.
Mm-hmm.
It is not, your health is a gift
mm-hmm.
from your Creator.
Right. And so we must put our trust in God
yes.
in order for us to get through our
yes.
adversities.
And there will be trials we are want, you know.
Of course, of course. We're told in the Quran that this life is a test and
yes.
our solution to those tests is to hold on to the rope of God
yes.
and to not let go, hold on tight to God.
Exactly. And so before we close this conversation, because we will go through more reformulations, let's just address one more, a second reformulation. Because it complements the first one and sheds light on another aspect of the verse. This second reformulation would be, I have not created jinn and men so that they take certain ones among them as gods apart from me.
Mm.
Because...
And we often do that. People often do that where they take, you know, some sort of someone they idolize, you know, someone that they really look up to and they start following their instructions or their example rather than really understanding what God wants from them.
Yes.
And that's how we
yes.
find people get lost in life
yeah.
because they've been focusing on the wrong track.
Yes. So he did not create jinn and man so that they lose themselves and suffer humiliation in his grace under the tyranny of the misleading so-called divinity of some of them vis-a-vis others. Nor that some of them take others in slavery, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the point of life is not to be under the thumb of other humans.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great news that he only created us so that we worship him.
Yeah. Now we look at it as good news.
Exactly.
Whereas before, one could have been very confused
yes.
as to why God would even say that. So now it's good news because then we're not under the thumb of tyranny.
Yes.
And we're not following the whims and shall we say trends of what this world brings about. You know, we know better than that. We know that some trends and some popularities and whatnot aren't for us, and we can take a pass on
yes.
that.
And in Surah Tawbah, in the Surah 9, verse 31, there is a verse that is usually translated a little bit in a muddy way, but let me try. Or they have taken their spiritual leaders and their monks as lords and the Messiah, son of Mary, apart from Allah.
You know? Mm.
And they were commanded to worship but one unique divinity. And there is no divinity or deity except him,
mm.
the one who is utterly remote in his limitless glory from anything to which they may ascribe a share of his divinity. Okay. So this again addresses,
yeah.
you know, this tendency to take other humans or even jinn as lords, you know.
Yeah.
There's another verse in Surah Saba, Surah 34, verse 40. And the day he will gather them all together, the day of judgment, and we ask the angels, was it you that they used to worship? And the angel will answer, limitless are you in your glory. You are our wali, our protector, apart from them. No, rather, they were serving the jinn. Most of them believed in them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is remarkable because in today's world, you do see people doing all sorts of crazy things. They're calling and invoking upon spirits, and they're invoking upon, you know, what they believe to be angels or what they believe to be dead people that had maybe some sort of, you know, a claim when they were alive. And we realize that we're just muddying the waters. We're just kind of wasting our time, because in the end, we could go straight to the boss of all of these things, the boss of all of these people, and just go direct and get, you know, have the conversation that we want and invoke what it is that we're asking for.
Yes, absolutely.